May your word only be spoken, Lord, and your word only received. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. If the Gospel of Mark was a piece of music, it would be played in staccato style. Mark is abrupt, and there are very few transitions. You have to look for the transitions on your own. And he also uses the word immediately 27 times in the Gospel. So those disciples who receive the call to be fishers, I'm sorry, I have to say fishers of men, it just is in my synapses to say that. It's such a familiar phrase. Those called to be fisher persons are immediately, it says, they left their nets and followed him. Fishing is a wonderful pastime. It's taken more or less seriously by people. If you were having relatives come in or friends, if I were, I might take them as I have before to fishing in Narragansett Bay, very exciting to do. If you catch a dogfish, it's not that exciting, but if you can catch other things as well. And fishing is in the popular imagination and in the Christian ethos because of that phrase, I will make you fishers of men and women and persons. There's a way that was continued on or recognized in Anglican circles in a book called The Complete Angler Isaac Walton, thank you. And there are Isaac Walton societies around the world, and most states, I think, have an Isaac Walton group that fishes. It's like a fishing club. But Isaac Walton was alive when the Puritan Revolution, the Civil War in England, was taking place, and he, we all think and can see signs of a second level to his talk about how to go fishing for people, for fish. And he, it says, The Complete Angler, and its angler may refer to the Anglican Church, and it's The Complete Angler. It's a compendium of little references to things that are uniquely Anglican or of the Catholic faith in the time when these Puritan people under Oliver Cromwell were changing the face of society in England. But Walton is a lover of the process of fishing all on its own, and other people are too. How many are dedicated fishermen around here? Any fly fisher persons? I grew up fly fishing and casting for hours, practicing casting, and I even got to be able to, when there's trees behind you, you throw the line straight up and then out instead of getting it tangled in the tree behind you. And if we use this image a little further, it is of some amusing kind of qualities to think of ourselves as different kinds of fish. And I was in Sarasota one time, Florida, and I was on this passage, and I said, you know, there's some of you that are like wily trout that dart out from a rock, very, very nervous and very cautious. Some of you are just sort of comfortable old fish like flounders on the bottom of the seabed. Others are like barracudas. And I looked over my shoulder at the choir and said, they often come from behind you when you don't notice. So what kind of fish are you? Can you still hear the call of God to be fishers of men? But also think of yourself as the kind of fish that Jesus has to be the fisherman for, that Jesus is the fisherman who's trying to catch you. And so we play around with that image. It's very helpful. Am I skittish like the trout? Am I more comfortable and easygoing like the flounder? Am I a shark or a barracuda? I was mentioning all these things, and the man came up afterwards and said, my name is John Smelt. And I thought, you're kidding me. And he said, no, it really is John Smelt. Well, you prove my point. So the point of St. Mark's Gospel here is to put the fishing process, however it takes shape in our minds, to take that into the context of the Gospel. So Mark, in his staccato sort of way, says that there was a lesson coming from the There was a proclamation of the kingdom, and so the fishing illustration is meant to serve this idea of the spread of the kingdom of God. So being a fish caught by the fisherman Jesus, we then share the mission of Jesus as we try to bring about the kingdom by bringing in hauls of fish. It takes a certain kind of sensitivity to look at a stream and to see that if you were to cast the fly up there with a certain kind of line, it would probably end up over here, which looks like a very fishy part of the creek, right down there. So the basic use of that image is simply that we need to be sensitive to other people around us. Jesus is sensitive to his disciples. And we need to be thinking of people, other people around us, as fish, but only in this way, that we cater to their comfort levels, their environments, and we say to ourselves perhaps, you know, this person has so many gifts, and I wonder if he is or she is discontent with his or her life, so that by a proper presentation of the gospel and no kind of hitting people over the head with a Bible, could we invite them to be part of the catch that is any Christian church? Could we cater to them in such a way, in a loving way, in a sensitive way, of saying, well, you know, I think you might find this interesting, or if they're controversial, controversy-minded, you could say, well, you could say that, but no, maybe we could present the gospel in a better way and have that catch come from our faithfulness to the way Jesus has caught us. So think of yourself as that fish. What does it take for Jesus to hook you? Is he fishing for you? Yes. Does he call you as he called Simon and Andrew? Do we hear that call today? It was fine back then in the pages of Scripture, but can we hear that same call in our own time? Mm-hmm. Think that the way we hear the call of God today is by conscience. The way we hear it is by the mission that is ours through our baptism, which is to go and make disciples of all nations. And we do it with this wonderful image of fishing. Let us keep that image in mind as we approach the fish in our lives this week. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.